to the First Timothy chapter 2. So Skyler blessed my heart today. He said, "Preacher, I know what the last book of the Bible is." And I said, "What is it?" He said, "Revelation." There's a little preacher in the making here, I guarantee you. Amen. What's the first book? Do you know? You're right. Amen. Okay. You got them. You got the first and the last. And all you got to do is get the ones in the middle. We got them made. Amen. What did he say? Oh. Catch me after church. Okay. Amen. God bless you, Skyler. Amen. Can he quote all the books of the Bible? Oh. Okay, that's great for a little guy. That's because of his... Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2 before Lizzie gets us going here. She is a good teacher. I hear her every day, every Sunday morning. First Timothy chapter 2, I'm glad you're here tonight. God bless you. Good to see you. I want to talk to you. Here's the title, Roger. The Importance of One. I just want to focus on the importance of one tonight. You know, we want to reach multitudes, but sometimes in the desire to reach multitudes, we forget about the importance of one. And I want to just give you a thought about, last week the Lord put this in my heart. I said, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The importance of one. Notice, let's stand for reading of God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessories be made for our brand new church building that we need to build. Amen? Prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. We need to be a praying people. You know, prayer should be play a great part in our life, and it should play a great... Our prayers for others should play a great part for their lives. Notice it goes on, verse 2, for kings. In other words, we don't have a king, we have a president. For kings and for all that are in authority. Boy, we need to pray for our President Bush. He needs a lot of prayer. Matter of fact, not him, but the whole kit and caboodle up there. We need to pray for those folks, that God would give them wisdom, because there's a lot of wisdom lacking up there on that, up there. And by the way, he's a Republican, and I still said that. I told you, no matter who it was, if they don't do what I want, I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican, I'm still going to let you know when I don't like what's going on. For kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. Yeah, if they'll do right, Eddie, it'll help America. I just want God to bless America. And the Bible teaches that the blesses a nation whose God is Lord. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sins are reproach to any people. So we want our nation to get back to the old ways of God. And we need to do it through the leaders trying to encourage the people. Notice that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. I'm glad we got a Savior in these days. Now watch verse 4. This wonderful Savior that we have, who will have all men to be saved. God wants all men to be saved. He never sends one person to hell. People go to hell because they reject His Son. But God wants all men to be saved. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. For there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. I'm glad He gave us for all. To be testified in due time. Go out and tell everybody. It's time to tell everybody right now. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus arose. He's coming back. Father, thank You for the precious Word of God. Pray tonight, Father, that You would help me be a blessing to the people. Lord, help us to focus tonight. Maybe You'll have that one particular person in someone's life tonight, my life, their life, that we could focus on. that we could help bring to Christ. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Listen, God cares about every individual person. Says he doesn't want, he said, it says in verse 4, he would have all men to come into the knowledge of Christ. God wants all people to be saved. Who can say amen on that? 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, that some men count slackness, but his long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all come unto repentance. God promises eternal life to all those who put their faith in his Son. Can anyone say amen? So yes, the Lord wants thousands to come to him. He wants the masses to come to him. He wants all people to be saved. And the Lord has great joy when multitudes do come to him. But he takes joy in just one also. Just one. Oh, thank God for the multitudes. But there's rejoicing with the Lord in just one. God don't have to have the multitudes to be rejoicing, although he wants multitudes to be reached, Tommy. Tommy, God gets excited when just one is reached for him. Quickly turn with me into the book of Luke, and I'll probably quote the rest of the scriptures for the rest of the night. Look at Luke chapter 15, and look at verse 3 through 7. He spake this parable in Luke 15:3, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one. Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, although God wants to see all men come to him, although he takes pleasure when scores and scores of men and women come to him as Savior, God also places an importance of one. Just one is also important to God. I heard this statement by preachers and missionaries sometimes, and lay people, and I've seen the philosophy. They say this, and this is what got me to preach this message. Don't send your preacher boys or any witnesses to places that are limited to a few people. But send them where they can reach the multitudes. Now that statement preaches. And there is some worldly, we think at first sight, we think there's some logic beyond that. In other words, they say, don't send your missionary to Norway. Send them to China or somewhere where there's mass people. Are you still with me, church? And although that might seem logic to this world, it's not taught in the Bible. Are you still with me? Listen, humanly speaking, it makes us think that it's logical. It's more to go to vast numbers over than just over a few or even just one. But can I remind you in Scripture, Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 teaches us that God's ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. I'm going to tell you, a lot of times in this life, the things that we think that's really good, God says, zonk. So a lot of times, what man thinks is humanly right, God says, no, that's not right at all. Many times what we think makes sense to us, it goes contrary to what God teaches. Are you still with me? Now notice, leaving just one for the multitudes is not, they say, leaving just one for the multitudes is not taught in the scriptures. In other words, they say, just leave that one by himself. Go to the multitudes. Go to the multitudes. Go where you can reach more people. It preaches. Humanly speaking, it makes sense. Because we do want to reach the masses. Right? But can I tell you that's not the way God does things? Let me give you a couple of illustrations. In Acts chapter 8, you don't have to turn to it. I'm just going to quote you the scripture tonight. In Acts chapter 8, you can turn it later. You can turn it off if you want to. Remember Philip. He was an evangelist for God. The Bible says the Spirit of God caught Philip up and took him out into the desert. There wasn't a big meeting going on in the desert. Matter of fact, there was only one person. Hey, there was a whole lot of people down in Judea and Samaria. Are you still with me? Yet God, I'm glad God didn't have that philosophy, you can't just go to one. Because he sent Philip out in the middle of the desert, Eddie, to speak to an Ethiopian eunuch, a black man. Are you with me? And there Philip showed him Christ. And that one person, Carl, that God took a preacher and put him out in the middle of the desert around nobody else, just for that one person, Eddie, so that man could be saved. I'm going to tell you, you study the scripture, God puts an importance on one. Can anyone say amen? I thought about Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, Italian, amen? He prays to God, but he doesn't know God. He's a Gentile. And he tells Cornelius, go send your men to this Jewish man named Peter. He's a long ways off. Several miles away from you. And so they go in Acts chapter 10. You'll find that they go. And Peter first finds out, I'm not going to go to that Gentile. But God says, what I call clean, don't you call unclean. And so God sends Peter hundreds of miles to reach one man. I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever fail to see the importance of one person. Because the Bible teaches that God cares. Don't underestimate the importance of one, because God never does. Can anyone say amen? Every day, thousands of people are dying. Many are dying without faith in Christ. The scripture teaches in Isaiah 5:14, hell is enlarging itself every day. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Thousands and thousands every day, maybe even millions, are dying without faith in Christ and going to hell. And I don't want one person to go to hell, and neither does Christ. But listen, as much as I would like to, we can't reach all those multitudes. As much as I want to reach them all, we can't, and we won't. Now listen to me. I wonder how many times in our quest to reach the multitudes do we fail to reach one? Did you ever notice? I got thinking about this, Eddie. Did you ever notice when a lion or one of those big cats in Africa, did you ever notice when they go down to get their prey, there'll be a whole herd of antelope or something, zebras or something. But did you ever notice, do they run after all of them? No, they only single out one. You that like to hunt. Let me give you fellows a clue that like to hunt. If you've hunted for any long, you know this truth already. Andy, if you've ever gone hunting, Some guys don't understand. There'll be a whole flock of birds come in, and they'll just shoot in the air at the flock. You know, when you flock shoot, you get very few birds. See, hunters have learned something. Brother Brent, if a whole bunch of geese come in, don't shoot at the mast. Just zero in on one. And after you shoot that one, Brian, then go to the next one. But before you go to the next one, a lot of guys say, Matt, I missed them. I shot right in the middle of all of them and didn't get one of them. See, you got to focus on one. How many are still with me? Boy, this truth, Eddie, prevails in a lot of different things. Now stay with me. We need to reach out, reach one, just one. Look, we need to have a goal to reach one. Now I want to reach 100, and I want to reach 1,000, but I want to reach them one at a time if I have to. Are you with me? We need a goal to reach one. Just one. One that comes into our pathway. I can't get them all. But boy, if I would just single that cat, he'll just single. He knows he can't get them all. So he'll just look for one. He'll look for the best opportunity for one. Those flying, or the ducks, they'll come in. One time I was talking with Eddie Wilson. I called a whole flock of geese in, and one of them, this is the truth, I'm not preaching right now, you'll get that later. The wing almost hit Eddie in the head. That's how close it landed on Eddie. And believe it or not, I don't know if we got that goose or not. But the way you get a goose when they come in, a flock, you don't shoot at the flock, you just focus on one. See, God's placed an importance on one. How many are getting this tonight? Stay with me. Maybe you might not be able to reach multitudes, but maybe you could reach just one person out of the thousands. Maybe just one you could pray for that God puts in your heart. Maybe just one you could focus on more. Well, I want to get them all. Say, well, what may say, God, which one do you want me to focus on? Hello? I'm not saying not to care about all of them, but focus on one. Pray for one. Go after one. Did you ever think how important that one person is to God that comes into your life? Every one of us have a circle of about 200 people in our lives. People come in all the time. I had a man visit our church this morning. He came, looked at my truck to buy my truck, and I witnessed to him, and he came this morning in our church. Nice man, too, by the way. We need to focus on one. Listen, when one person comes into your life, I'm going to read to you from Ezekiel 33, 7 and 8. It's also in Ezekiel 3. But I'm going to read you Ezekiel 33, 7 and 8. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto thy house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. You know, many times we failed to warn that one person. We just would fail. We failed to warn that one person. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. You know, when you study Revelation 20, 11 through 15, the great white throne judgment, it shows all the people that are lost from eternity. One by one, they're going to stand before God and be casted out in the lake of fire. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I think we're going to be witnesses there. I think the Christians are going to see this. And I think there's going to be statements that we make. Boy, I believe we might say, if only I could have reached that one person. They were in my life, and I never took time just to reach that. There's one there that wouldn't have had to go if I would have just focused on that one person. Am I making sense to anybody today? You know, we need to care about that one person. I mean, that one person that you are refusing to witness to. God's got someone in your heart and you've been refusing to witness to. I mean that one person you're not praying for. I mean that one person that you would not share the love of Jesus with, but God's told you to do it. I mean that one person you would not warn from hell's fire. And by the way, if God puts us in to warn that person, and that person dies without Christ, their blood's going to be on our hand. I think with all my heart, we're going to stand there with blood of several ones of people that we didn't witness to because we didn't love them enough to tell them about Christ. We're so sometimes wanting to reach multitudes that we forget the one that's right in front of us. I hope you're getting what I'm trying. I want multitudes to be saved. I hope you're not misunderstanding the preacher tonight. But I think many times in our quest to reach multitudes, we miss the very one that God puts in front of us in our life. Am I making sense to anybody tonight? Listen, we need to be concerned today for that one person. You know, Freddie Belcher, he got over and over he kept saying, every time I would say, who's that one? Who's that one? And he'd say, preacher, I'd walk out of here and my aunt was always that one in my heart. And finally he came to me and said, preacher, I'm going to tell you right now, my aunt's dying. We got to go see her. I want to get her to get saved. And she got saved. About a month ago, she died. But I'm glad that I'm glad a few months before she died that Freddie cared enough about his aunt that we went and led her to Christ. That was one person, just one, but it was one that we're glad we went to. I wonder if you have one in your life tonight. I wonder if there's one person in your life that God's been put on your heart, and you've just kind of dismissed it or let it go, and that's just that one person, just that one. See, God places an importance upon one. It's time. It's true that Jesus died for the sins of all the world. But it's also true that Jesus died just for you. It's also true that Jesus died for only you. You were the only reason he suffered. He suffered for just, if the statements, Tommy, we preach it, if you and I would be the only persons that ever lived, Christ would have still died. Because he has an importance of one. Just for you, Jesus was sinless. Just for you, Jesus came from heaven and was born in Bethlehem of a virgin. Just for one, you're the one. Calvary, the life of Christ, the love of God is all about one. You are the one. You're the one. Today, you need to realize deep within our hearts, there's an importance of one. Number one, you need to know that God loves you. You're important. You. Every one of you say, man, no. I'm going to tell you right now. God really loves you kids. He loves you. He loves you by yourself. Not just collectively. Eddie, he loves you. Not just collectively. He loves you singly, one-on-one. God places a lot of emphasis on one. And listen, you are that one. You are that one that God cares so very much about. Teenagers, a lot of our teenagers are ripped and torn. I was talking to a couple yesterday. Do you ever think about our poor teenagers? They're not little kids no more, yet they're not adults. It's hard being a teenager. Man, you get all your, and the guys are getting all these hormones and all these, you know, and you're growing up and you're looking out of proportion and man, you're not a man, you're not a woman, you're not a girl, man, where am I? You're getting pimples, you got acne and you're worried about all kinds of other stuff. Hello? And you don't play with baby dolls no more, but you can't play Real House either. Where do we fit in? Are you with me? Many times teenagers think, nobody loves me. Nobody cares. But he does care. But he does love you. And you are by yourself very important to God. The world and Satan would tell you you're not important, but you're very important to God. Just you, one. The one, just you. You're important. Now listen, I'm going to close this thought out. Today the Lord's looking. You remember when I read from Luke 15? He went looking for that one lost sheep. He said he just thrilled over that one. I want to leave this with you, Bethel Baptist Church. The Lord is looking in the midst of all the multitudes, Ruthie. We have a big world. Deacon, we have a huge populace out there. But in the midst of all that, he's looking for one lost sheep. He's looking for one lost sheep. First question is this. Are you the lost sheep? Are you the one that he's looking for to be saved? Second question. If you are, by the way, you should come forward and get saved tonight. Preacher, I'm the one he's looking for. I want to be found. Second of all, Christian, do you know? We know that God's looking for that one. We know that God's looking for that one lost sheep. Amen? Come on, say amen with me if you believe that. Do you know one lost sheep? Do you know one lost sheep? Because that one lost sheep that you know, they're important to God. You see, God puts an importance on one. I wonder tonight, would you know someone that's a lost sheep? Would you love that lost sheep enough to go tell them about Jesus? Would you love that person enough to pray for them? Would you love that person enough to try to win them to Christ and witness to them? Would you love that person enough to warn them so they wouldn't have to die and go to hell? Will you go to that one? Will you tell that one? Will you pray for that one? Will you care about that one? You see, God really places an importance on one. And what I want us at Bethel Baptist Church tonight, I want us to start to focus and put a great importance on one. Let's worry about that one person that's in your life. That one you work with. That one neighbor. That one family member. That one best friend. That one that's so far away. That one that you think that's beyond help. Filipino preacher preached about last Wednesday. John preached about the maniac. And after he got saved, he changed his worship. He started worshiping Christ. He changed his wardrobe. He put some clothes on. And he changed his warfare. He no longer was tormented. He was praising God. You know, there's a lot of lost sheep out there. If we would just get focused on one of them. I can't reach them all, but maybe I could reach one. And Andy, after we reach that one, then I'll reach out for another one. But I want you to know something. God puts an importance upon one. How much importance do we put on just one lost sheep? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had in the Word of God. Thank you for the thought, the importance of one. Lord, we really need to be concerned. You put so many one people in our lives. So many people cross our pathway. Our life is always one-on-one with someone. How many ones of people do we meet on a regular basis? Lord, if we could care like you did about the one and go after that one and understand the rejoicing that you had over just one sinner coming to repentance. Help us. Help us tonight. Lord, I know you've put somebody in each one of our lives. Holy Spirit, I pray while I'm praying. Holy Spirit, I pray you'll put somebody lost in everybody's mind right now. Lord, you just put my brother-in-law David in my heart. Lord, I pray that this week I can reach out to my brother-in-law. Lord, I pray that I'll go after that one person. I pray as these people think about that one in their life, they would care enough to reach out. Oh God, that they would care enough to reach out just to that one person, knowing the importance that God places on just one. I wonder, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, before we go home, first of all, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for a fact I'm saved and going to heaven. Thank you. You may put him down. Would there be anyone tonight? Preacher, I'm that lost sheep. I'm that one. Pastor, I'm that one that needs to be saved. God's looking for me. I've been running. God's looking for me, preacher. Pray for me. I'm that one lost sheep that God's looking for. Pray for me. Anyone like that tonight? Pray for me. I'm that one lost sheep. I'm that one. How many Christians would say, preacher, as you preach tonight, God put someone in my heart. Yes. 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 God bless you. Yes. All over the building. Can I ask you to do me a favor? Would you somehow, by a phone call or a letter or a visit or a prayer or something, do something this week? If it's just praying for that person, would you try to do something for that one person? Would you just try to do one thing, something for that person, that they could be reached for Christ before they die and go to hell? Because I'm going to tell you, that one person is so important to God. Because God really puts an importance on one. And by the way, by reaching out, you never know. Rod Black called me last night. He said, preacher, you remember last year I preached in New Jersey? He said the preacher out there, he lost their land and everything, but he's still preaching. He went to a halfway house. He said he'd been going to this halfway house and just preaching and witnessing to people. And he said about 3 weeks ago, he led a man to Christ in the halfway house. The man was a millionaire. The lost man was a millionaire. And the man's bought him all the land back and everything else. That millionaire has been taken care of taking care of that works of God, the work of God there in New Jersey. But you know what? It was because he cared just about one. You see, there's an importance of one. Here's a man that the world didn't care about, but that preacher cared about him. Just one man. Just one person. Just one. No one cared about him, but he did. Maybe you could care about, oh, you don't have to be a millionaire. He didn't even know he was a millionaire. He thought he was just a Paul. He thought he was just a guy off the street. See, God does put importance on one.